Hey, it's Tony Bruschi. If you enjoy this podcast, Real Ghost Stories Online, be sure to check out our other paranormal podcast, The Grave Talks, with new episodes every Monday and Tuesday. Just search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts. Now, here's a 15-minute preview of one of this week's episodes of The Grave Talks. Today on The Grave Talks, Memories That Don't Fade, a conversation with Jeff Kunkel. Jeff Kunkel experienced true paranormal trauma as a child. The 2 months that Jeff and his family spent in a haunted house would leave him with a lifetime of stories and mental scars that would never fully heal. A force with enough strength to propel BBs at passing cars, with the force of a rifle, lodge floppy kitchen knives into the sides of a solid oak cabinet, and pull a fully grown man off his bed in the middle of the night, just some of the experiences that Jeff had as a child. Experiences that would lead him on a lifelong journey to find answers as to why we are surrounded by unseen spirits and forces.
12 years old, my friend.
What happened?
12 years old. I lived in Springfield, Illinois. We moved there.
Okay.
And Mom and Dad decided that they got a rental house. You know, it's just like something right off of Paranormal Survivor. I'm looking at these things going, wow. You know, I'm like, oh, I'm one of those statistics.
Yeah.
It happened there. 12 years old, we moved into a house. Pretty cheap rent. You know, the whole thing that ran through, nothing. I think we got there the first day that we got there. We were taking our mattresses upstairs, pick our rooms, you know what I mean?
Sure.
Running up there, 12 years old, you want to get your room. So my brother got one right off the stairwell, you know, right before it goes down the stairs.
Sure.
And we were all kicking back in that room, and we heard footsteps coming up the stairs, so we thought it was our parents. We're like, oh, crap, we got to get up and get moving.
Yeah.
So we get up, we start running back downstairs, and there's nobody coming up. But, you know, us as kids, we didn't think anything of it at the time.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So we went on about our merry way and started doing, you know, getting moved in. And then it really started about a week after we moved into the place. So this is something I really don't talk about a lot. I've only talked to one other person about it.
Yeah.
Because the nightmares that I get from it are, you know, it gets pretty bad sometimes.
Sure.
I still to this day. But I know some of the things that you hear from people that say, you know, what happened to them, you know, you have to believe it, because the things that I went through is, wow. I mean, okay, let's just put it this way. You know those old mirrors that's got the gold flake on it and kind of spirally in the mirror? They're like little 10-inch square mirrors that you can put on your wall?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. The whole hallway was filled with mirror.
Okay.
Okay, so when you went upstairs, you saw your reflection all the way down the hallway.
Yeah.
There was 3 rooms upstairs, and there was a bathroom in the middle of it all. And then there was 1 room downstairs, just right off the kitchen, along with the cellar door, which looked like, you know, people back in Illinois didn't have fences in their yards. It was just open yard space.
Sure.
And, the cellar doors, you know, they opened up outside, like the double doors that came into the ground, and inside the door looked like something out of Get Smart. You know, they were deadbolts all the way down it. And then, you know, the chain locks. My little brother, Corby, got the room off of the kitchen. Okay. And he had an Emmett Kelly doll, like a puppet.
Yeah.
A hand puppet. Yeah, he kept that with him all the time. It was a big old plastic head with a foam body, you know.
Yeah.
And the week after we moved in, we were, you know, still hearing footsteps and stuff like that. My mom was like, you know, mom and stepdad didn't think anything of it, and telling us we're just hearing crap and seeing things. But one night, we were all running around the house, and we ran back to my brother Corby's room, and his Emmett Kelly doll was on the floor in a shoebox. He made a bed for it.
Mm-hmm.
When we ran back into the room, it was physically sitting up in the center of his bed. And this doll does not do that. The head is so heavy that it just kind of folds in on itself.
Yeah, it's cloth.
Yeah, and cotton on the inside of it. So we kind of flipped out, screamed, ran out of the room. Mom came in there and go, what's wrong? You know, and she said, go look at the doll. He's sitting up on the bed, you know, and walked back in there. And of course, the doll was folded over on the bed like nothing.
Yeah.
She goes, you guys need to stop playing these jokes and stuff. This stuff isn't funny anymore.
Yeah.
And she didn't believe us throughout the whole, you know, except. Okay. This thing was basically after me and my stepbrother.
Yeah.
Whatever it was, we were up in our bedroom, okay? And my stepbrother, he was one of those kids who liked to do stupid crap. So we had the bedroom window open upstairs, and there was a busy street down below us. And he was chucking BBs at the cars passing by.
Mm-hmm.
BBs from a BB gun. And
sure.
I was like, man, somebody's going to stop. You need to stop doing that. And so we're like hiding behind the window and kind of giggling at the same time. And before I knew it, I seen him pick up a BB and get ready to throw it. Then his arm kind of whipped back like something had a hold of it and chucked that BB and shattered the front windshield of a vehicle. And his arm was pulled out of socket. He was screaming and crying. And, you know, stepfather came upstairs. What the hell happened? We tried to tell him. He's like, are you guys screwing around up here? Took him to the hospital. They put it back into place, put him in an arm brace. And he was scared shitless.
Yeah.
Told me that something had grabbed him and chucked it right out of his hand. And I was like, whoa, you know, and this is some, you know, he's pissed now. He's upset. And we have a walk-in closet in our bedroom. It was huge. So when you're 12 years old, I collected like every Star Wars figure and every ship known to man.
Sure.
I had it all stacked in this closet because I used to play with that crap all the time.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting on my bed. I actually still have the comic book I was reading to this day. I still have it in my collection. I was sitting on my bed reading my comic book, right? And the closet door was opened up about, I don't know, a good 4 inches. You could actually see into the closet type shit. And I'm just looking at my comic book, and I look up, and there it is, the two eyes that I've heard so much about. And I mean, now I've heard so much about, but there were two red glowing eyes in the closet. I don't know. I froze. All right. I froze in fear. And I'm just looking, and my stepbrother looked over at me from his bed, and he goes, what's wrong? He saw me go pale. And I just pointed to the closet, and I go, there's something in the closet. There's something in the freaking closet. And then he gets pissed, you know, because his arm and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, being the stepbrother that he was and a year older than me, he thought he was going to be a Barney badass and step up and start cursing at it and telling it, come out of here, come on, because he saw the eyes. He's like, you ain't nothing. He's like, come out of that closet, come on. And before we knew it, the door slammed shut, and it sounded like a bomb went off in the closet. And my stepfather, stepmother ran upstairs, yelled, what the hell is going on in here? Who are we yelling? Are you guys fighting? What's going on? And we just both pointed to the closet. My stepfather opened up the closet door. And in the middle of the floor, in a perfect pile, was all my Star Wars figures and my ships, and they were ripped apart. And there wasn't a piece out of place. I mean, it wasn't out of place of the pile.
Yeah.
It was a perfect circle in the center of the closet floor, and everything was in a perfect pile. Heads are ripped off some of the figures. The legs are ripped off the landing gear. The X-Wing was broken in two, you know, things like that.
Like permanent damage type thing, or assemble again? Damage. Oh, wow. Okay.
Permanent damage. You're talking like if you get an angry child that decides to rip the head off its doll.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. And you can't get that head back on that doll unless you use super glue.
Yeah.
You know? But so we got blamed for it because, you know, typical kid, you know, parents don't believe. And so we had to clean up the mess. I didn't want to go into the closet, but we were made to. And he stood there while we did it, which I thought was great because I didn't want to go in there by myself.
Sure.
After all that stuff was cleaned up, I didn't even want to sleep in the house anymore. And I was coming out of my bedroom after it was all said and done. And I was walking down the hallway and I happened to look into the glass mirror, one of the frames of it, you know, one of the 10-inch squares that was on the wall. And I looked and it cracked right when I looked at it.
Wow.
And then it started getting freaking nuts after that. And then my parents started to believe.
Yeah.
We were all downstairs and my mom was in the kitchen. She was doing dishes. And she had just got through, you know, drying everything off. And she was putting, okay, hold on. She was taking her steak knives, okay?
Yeah.
You know those metal with the plastic-ended steak knives you had when you were a kid?
Sure.
Okay, they were very flexible. Your parents bought them dime a dozen.
Yes.
And that's what we used. You know, everybody used them.
Yep.
And the kitchen had solid oak cabinetry, okay?
Sure.
Thick cabinet. So my mom puts the dishes away. She closes the drawer. She walks out of the kitchen. We're at the table. And no sooner did she walk out of the kitchen than it sounded like, you know how all the knives, forks, and spoons get thrown on the floor type shit?
Sure.
Oh, sorry. Excuse me.
No, you can swear all you want. Go for it.
That's what happened.
Okay.
What happened? You heard a big old...
Yeah.
And doors slam and crap like that. And she gets up and she runs back in there. Two of the cabinet doors are open. She's looking. She doesn't see anything else except for two of those plastic steak knives. You know, I call them plastic steak knives.
Sure.
But they have metal steak knives, but they have plastic handles.
Yeah.
Shoved all the way through a solid oak cabinet. To the butt of the plastic.
Yeah.
And she's looking and she's flipping out. And then she opens up the drawer. And the place where you put all your silverware.
Yeah.
You know, that little strainer thing you put in your drawer.
Sure.
Had no silverware in it. It was all to the outside edge. And then she started flipping. And that's when she started kind of understanding the things that were going on, because now it wasn't going after literally me as it was my parents now, because whatever was there was trying to make them believe.
Hope you enjoyed this 15-minute preview of one of this week's two brand new episodes of The Grave Talks. To hear the rest and get new episodes every Monday and Tuesday right in your podcast feed, search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts and press subscribe or visit thegravetalks.com.